If you brought your Bibles with you, please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And I'm going to ask you to stand in honor and reverence to the Word of God. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus has already resurrected from the dead, and he gives these words to his disciples. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this great commission. We got a couple of our brothers, a brother and a sister, are going to be heading out to Central America. You know who they are. And we pray as they go to fulfill the great commission, to tell others about Jesus, to make disciples. God of heaven, they are going to meet people that maybe have never heard, and they're going to meet people who are probably hungry for the word, for somebody to tell them how to get to know God, how to get saved. So we pray that you would prepare them, give them boldness, and the people that are waiting for them over there in Central America, God, get them ready for that. And then you also, Father, told us to not only make disciples, but then disciple them, grow them in their faith after they get baptized. Lord God, thank you for that incredible word. Help each one of us here be willing to follow what you said. Lord God, we love you. We thank you. You're awesome, amazing God in this place. Your presence is among us. We know you're going to honor your word. Push me out of the way, God, so that your truth may be heard. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm beginning today a series of messages on the life of Elijah. So this is going to be a character study on Elijah that I'm calling End Days Prophets. I believe that we may be the last group of prophets before Jesus returns to earth and raptures the church. We are the prophets. We are the people God is counting on. Now, in the New Testament, the word prophet has two main meanings. One is for somebody who is foretelling future events. In the Bible, we read about prophets who were foretelling future events that have not yet happened. But in our day and age, we don't necessarily need those kind of prophets, because whatever God wants you and me to know is found in Scripture. Amen. Whatever God wants you to know about the future, about heaven, about hell, is all already found in Scripture. I don't need somebody to tell me some new message that God chose not to inspire. When we lived in the mountains of New Mexico, the biggest church in town was advertising that they had a guy coming. He had had a new revelation about hell. He claimed to have had a vision of hell that God gave him, a vision of hell that the Bible doesn't speak about. And he was traveling the nation, telling people this new parts of hell that the Bible doesn't cover. I have issues with that, because whatever God wanted me to know about hell is already here. Just like whatever God wanted me to know about heaven is already here. So whenever you hear somebody say, well, I have a new message from God about the future, wait, hold it. Whenever you hear somebody say, God told me when Jesus is coming, day and hour, don't believe it. So the word prophet can mean telling the future. But then there's a secondary meaning to prophet, and that is just telling people about how to be a believer, how to grow, how to develop in the faith. A prophet can be somebody who's just opening up the scriptures and just sharing with the gang how to live for God. So for your notes, I have something I want you to fill out. The first blank, point, and the second blank, help. And they, prophets, point people to Jesus and help believers grow in the faith. So you're a child of God, you're a prophet of God. You tell people about Jesus. You share your faith with others. And you also help believers try to get going in their faith, okay? Whenever Jesus knocked at the door of your heart and you opened the door of your heart and gave your life to him, then all of a sudden you became a prophet, and God wants to use you to share his message of salvation, but also to use you to help the new believers grow. And that's what we read, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It's going to be on the screen. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. There's no one like Jesus. Nobody has power like Christ. He alone has all the power. Therefore, go, he says to his disciples and to us, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. In other words, help them grow in the faith. Be sure of this, Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I want you to fill out in your notes and write, make the effort. If you're a child of God, listen, if you know Christ as your Savior, make the effort to connect others with God through faith in Jesus Christ. A lot of people in church all over the world, they are not making the effort. They're just not trying to get people connected to God through faith in Jesus Christ. A lot of people believe, hey, listen, people are just going to show up at church. God never told us to invite people to church, by the way, but folks think, oh, people are just going to show up at church. And sometimes they do, because they're led by the Spirit of God to go to a church. But you know what studies show? They show that people go to a church usually when they know somebody at that church. And so make the effort to whether invite people to the church, like some of y'all were talking about here, you know, inviting people to the church so that, because I know in your hearts what you want is for them to get to know God. Because our job as end days prophets, whether you have the gift of prophecy or not, is not the deal. Our job as end days prophets is to let people not only know about Christ, but grow them in their faith. How do we grow them in their faith? Well, through messages, through a Sunday morning, through Bible studies, through small groups, through discipling others, just staying close to people, you know, encouraging them, through fellowships, whatever. You do your part. I got to do my part to try to get people not only to know Christ, but to grow them in the faith. For your notes, write this down. Solid believers must know what they believe. If you're a child of God, you must know what you believe. Why? Because your faith will be challenged. What you think you know about the Bible will be challenged. So you want to know what you believe and what the Bible says. Now let's get to Elijah, because this is a study of the life of Elijah. I'm in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. 1 Kings is in the Old Testament, if you're not too familiar with the Bible. This is what the Bible says about Elijah. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. So Elijah goes to the most powerful man on earth at that time, in that region anyway, and says, hey, listen, I am going to tell you it's not going to rain for a few years. Now, the name Elijah in the Hebrew means Yahweh is God. And in those days, people named kids with a meaning. The name had a meaning, right? So the parents named this kid Elijah, not really knowing that one day Elijah was going to become a very powerful prophet, and he was going to let people know that Yahweh is God. But they named him Elijah. Yahweh is God. Here in the Western part of the world, we just don't do that. People give all kinds of crazy, weird names to their kids with no meaning at all. People are not thinking about meaning. You know, my parents named me Jorge because they liked it. Jorge means farmer. I am nothing like a farmer. Whatever I touch, dies. This is bottom line. Now, I know that I have pineapples at home. There, and I grow pineapples, a whole bunch of them. But that's all God, man. You just plant the pineapple and God does the rest. They do their thing, right? I do remember, and I've shared this with you before, that when we first moved into town here in Melbourne, we were planting the best culantro plants anywhere around. Culantro is what y'all call long-leaf cilantro. It's more potent than small-leaf cilantro. And we had long-leaf cilantros grown in the back because we love to cook with cilantro. Spanish people cook with cilantro, okay? We love the taste. Man, and these were healthy plants, just big old leaves. And then we got out of town. We were renting that house where we were planting the culantro. And the owner of the house came when we were not there and was inspecting the house. And he saw that we were growing pot. He saw that the culantro plants were big old pot plants. And so without our knowledge, he uprooted all our culantro plants and just completely trashed them. I still remember that to this day. I have issues with that. I'm like, dude, check Google next time. Now, of course, Google wasn't around at that time. But it was like, oh, ignoramus. And we couldn't grow them again. So Elijah was named Elijah because the parents felt like Yahweh is God. And so your name is going to be Elijah. And so Elijah represented God. So he goes to this evil King Ahab and says, hey, listen, I represent God. It's not going to rain for the next few years. For your notes, write this down. End days prophets, you and me who know Jesus, who are children of God, we represent God to others. Other people know that you're a believer. They know that at work, probably, I'm just guessing, they know that at work. Your neighbors probably know that you're a believer because your car is gone every Sunday morning. And they may see you with your Bible on hand. Your family knows you're a believer. You have coworkers that know you're a believer. And they're watching you. And they're putting you under the microscope. And they're wondering how you're going to act and how you're going to react. And when they realize that there's something special about you because you are trying to live for Jesus, they're going to want what you have. You represent God. Just like Elijah represented God. Back to Elijah. Now, this is... I messed up, so for your notes, cross out 1 Kings 17:8, and it's actually 1 Kings 17:1. So that should be 1 Kings 17:1, I believe. Somebody check me out on this. 1 Kings 17:1. No. What was that one then? All right, somewhere in here, maybe 2 Kings 7:1. Man, I messed up on this one. Where is it? Somebody help me out. Tom, help me out. Is it 1 Kings 7? No. Well, anyway, we'll find out before this hour is over. Where it says this, okay, where it says this. It just gives us a picture of what Elijah was like. It says, he was a hairy man, Elijah, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. 2 Kings 1:8. Thank you, Sherry. So write it down. Thank you. See, Google works. So 2 Kings 1:8 tells us a little bit about Elijah. Elijah was a guy who wore either, nobody really knows, either he was a hairy guy, according to the Hebrew, or either he wore a garment of goat's hair. Or it could mean both. He was a hairy guy who wore a garment of goat's hair, and it all was a mess. Have you seen guys that are very hairy, and they wear a t-shirt, and their hair's coming out of their t-shirt? Have you seen that? You're like, dude, do some manscaping here. I mean, it's like, okay. So I'm picturing Elijah like that. He's got hair all over the place. He's like an ape. He's rough. But he was the man that was representing God. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30. He went to speak to Ahab on behalf of God because the Bible says that Ahab was the worst king of Israel ever. So So the Bible says this, Ahab, I'm in 1 Kings 16:30. Ahab, son of Omri, did evil. That means he sinned more in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. So this man Elijah, Yahweh is God, representing God. He goes over there in front of the most sinister, the most powerful guy around. And I'm sure he was kind of nervous about it, but he goes and he confronts him and says, hey, listen, it's not going to rain because of you for the next few years, so get ready for this. And it made me think, and this is, I don't think, in your notes, but it made me think, God sees everything you do. Ahab was evil. God said, I see it. It's wrong. He says to Elijah, go talk to the man. And Elijah goes, God saw all that. So I was writing this sermon, part of it, at a coin laundry, because I was doing laundry, okay? My daddy bought a coin laundry years ago when he came to America. I worked it. He worked the machines. So doing laundry sort of kind of in my blood now. You know, and I love doing laundry. I love folding clothes. So I took a couple of loads of laundry to the laundromat, and it was real nice. The wind was blowing. So while the thing is washing, I brought my computer and my Bible and another book, and I sat in front of this wall of glass that the laundromat has, and I'm typing away this message that I'm sharing with you right now, okay? I'm just typing, because I type a full manuscript for what I'm going to say. And while I'm typing this sermon on obedience, I felt like God very clearly spoke to my heart and said, the lady behind you, who is the lady that was taking care of the laundromat that day, I want you to get up. This is God telling my heart, okay? Get up and tell her how much I love her and that I'm watching over her life, okay? So I'm typing. I feel like God says, get up, tell her that I love her and that I'm watching over her life. And I'm like, really? Seriously, I'm not lying. I'm like, really? I'm like, God, I'm writing a sermon about obedience, okay? Which makes no sense at this moment to you, okay? I'm writing a sermon about, I don't know that woman. But, yeah, you know, when you try to do something and God's telling you to do something else, he's going to bother you. And so I closed my laptop, and I wanted to be obedient to the Lord anyway. I didn't know how I was going to do this. So, you know, I got some trash that I had in my pocket, and I walk into the laundromat, and the lady's sitting there on her phone, okay? And I walk in, and she sees me, and she grins, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? Hey, it's good to see you. God bless you. You know, and I put my trash in the trash can, and I say, hey, can I say something to you? I said, I'm just working right here. You can see me. I'm working in my computer, but God stopped me. I said, I need to tell you that God loves you, okay? And that he's watching over every part of your life. Just want to let you know. Man, she grinned from here. I mean, now she smiled from ear to ear. And she said, thank you so much. That's all that happened. That's it. I went back. I typed my sermon. And it was over. And I was like, what's that all about? So I actually, I'm telling you the truth. I said, God, are you testing me? And I think he was testing me with what I call the OMTT, the OMT, and that is an acronym for obedience meter testing thingy. I feel like God was like, had his obedience meter testing thingy on me. Doink, are you going to get up or are you not? And nothing really happened. I've seen that lady before, and I've said, hey, how you doing? You know, that kind of thing. But it was just testing, I think. Know what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters? When you feel like God tells you to do something, do it. Number two, verse two. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Now, remember, he just came to the most powerful, sinister man on the face of that area and told him, because of you, it's not going to rain. Then the word of God came to Elijah, leave. He told Elijah, go get out of town. Okay, get out of town. Because God knew that Ahab, he was an evil guy. He was going to come after him. So the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. Ravens were considered an unclean bird. So he did, Elijah, what the Lord had told him. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Ah, that was his safe zone. The Kereth Ravine was the safe zone. And life was good for Elijah. Nobody knows where he is. God knows where he is. And God's supplying for him. And I'm thinking, what the? So the bread that's coming, I'm thinking it's warm Cuban bread. Okay, so the ravens are bringing him warm Cuban bread, maybe chunks of stewed meat from somewhere, maybe some nuts, maybe some eggs, and Elijah's eating in the daytime and in the nighttime, and everything is going as planned, and man, life couldn't get any better at the safe zone. I want you to write this down on your notes, please. God's got your back. I have to remember that. God's got my back. I forget sometimes. You ever forget that? God's got your back. Whoever you are, whatever you're doing. So, Elijah is having a great time in the safe zone, but you can read it later, but the brook dried up. There was no more water. And so the Bible says this. Verse 12. God, oh, by the way, God says to Elijah, get up and go to town. And so Elijah goes. And he finds this woman. It's called the woman of Zarephath. And verse 12, the woman, I'm getting ahead of myself. So Elijah goes to this town, Zarephath, and he sees this woman picking up sticks, okay? That's what the Bible says. And he says to the woman, hey, make me some bread and give me some food to eat. The woman answered, verse 12, as surely as the Lord your God lives, I tell you the truth, I have no bread, the woman said. I only have a handful of flour in a jar. I only have a little olive oil in a jug. I came here to gather some wood. I'll take it home and cook our last meal. My son and I will eat and then die from hunger. That's a bleak outlook on life, right? He's like, okay, we're going to go home. We're going to die. Elijah said to her, I'm sorry to hear that. No, he didn't. He said, don't worry. Go home and cook your food, as you have said, but first, make a small loaf of bread from the flour you have. Bring it to me, then cook something for yourself and your son. Elijah's like, I hear you. Go get me some bread, will you please? And you got to remember, Elijah represented God to this woman. And I was reading this and I thought, okay, so maybe what God's trying to teach us through this part of the story is to put God first in our lives. God first is our priority. God first in our finances, our monies. We put God first in our daily lives, in our decision making. God, what do you want? What are you looking for? I want to follow you. Then Elijah continued, the Lord, the God of Israel, says that jar of flour will never become empty. The jug will always have oil in it. This will continue until the day the Lord sends rain to the land. What? What a bold promise. That's crazy. That's a crazy promise. Remember, God's not saying this from above. Elijah's saying this as a representative of God. Bold, bold promise. Elijah really believed God would do that. So the woman, the Bible says, went home and did what Elijah told her to do. So Elijah, the woman, her son, had enough food every day. The jar of flour and the jug of oil were never empty. And this happened just as the Lord, through Elijah, had said, blessed be the name of the Lord. When I read this, y'all, I felt like what God did for Elijah in his safe zone when he was running away from Ahab, God had him there, was providing for him, only to nourish him spiritually also, because something big was about to happen to him. Okay? We're going to read that in just a moment. So God sets Elijah aside, and while he is there with Elijah alone, God is nourishing him, not only physically, but spiritually, because Elijah must have been blown away that there's birds bringing him, you know, Publix deli food that's hot and stuff. Like, I mean, he was just getting the world. And I just feel with all my heart that God had Elijah at the Kirith Ravine only to strengthen his faith for what's about to happen. Because you and I know God doesn't just want us to do good. God wants us to thrive. So here's a question for your notes. What has God done lately to boost your faith? What has God done lately to boost your faith? Maybe it's something someone said to you to encourage you. Maybe it's a sermon you heard. Maybe it was the God Word Whisperer YouTube channel that the brother has. Maybe somebody encouraged you. So maybe it was an answer to prayer. Maybe you got to the accident just a few seconds late because it could have been you involved in that accident. What has God done lately for you that he did it to boost your faith? Verse 17 from the Good News Translation. Sometime later, the widow's son got sick. I mean, there's a tragedy about to happen here. He got worse and worse, and finally he died. And we're talking here about a young man, okay? Not a big guy, just a young person. The woman said to Elijah, "Man of God, why did you do this to me?" Wait a minute. If I would have been Elijah, I would have been, "Time out. I didn't do this. It wasn't my fault. Kid died." But she's blaming Elijah. Just like sometimes we blame God when bad things happen. Just happens to us. We just blame him. Things don't go our way. And we're like, "God, what are you doing to me?" I say, "You love me." And so the woman just goes after Elijah. But I think she was speaking from a broken heart. You know what I'm saying? Her kid died. She said to him, "Did you come here to remind God of my sins and so cause my son's death?" Now, we don't know what sins she had committed. We don't know anything of her past. Elijah responds to her, "Give the boy to me." Elijah said, he took the boy from her arms, carried him upstairs to the room where he was staying, and laid him on the bed. Then he prayed aloud, "Oh, Lord, my God, why have you done such a terrible thing to this widow? She has been kind enough to take care of me. Now you kill her son?" Folks, listen. Be open with God about how you feel. Always be open with God. Elijah's complaining. He's talking to us. Why'd you kill him? She's been good to me. She's been helping me out. And here you go. What's up? Remember, God is like a loving father that you can go to in good times and bad times. When you're happy and when you're sad and when you're frustrated, go to God with your frustration. Tell him how you feel. If you're doubting, tell him how you're doubting. If you feel like something unfair happened, tell him. Just be, my brothers and sisters, be confident that God is not going to kick you to the side because you decide to just be open with him. He knows already what's in your heart. And so Elijah here is like, "Why'd you do that? God's not going to get mad at you because you have questions." We see that all through the Bible. People have questions for God. Sometimes we don't understand. But we take him by faith because that's what the Bible says we got to do. Those who follow God must follow him by faith alone, even though we don't understand. The Bible continues, and Elijah stretched himself out on the boy three times and prayed, "Oh Lord, my God, restore this child to life." Enough, y'all, listen, enough with general prayers. We do it all the time. Bless this, bless that. Elijah just comes straight out, resurrect him from the dead. Talk about a specific prayer. Get specific with God when you're talking to God. I wrote a few down. I really need you to show me, because I don't know which way to turn here. God, I believe, but there's a lot of doubt in me. Help my unbelief. Let me tell God, God, I'm having a real hard time forgiving this individual. I'm scared. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. God, I need a friend I can trust. You can't trust everyone, y'all. But there's some people you can trust. God knows who they are. God, I need somebody I can trust. God, heal me. It's specific. Heal my heart, God. Specific prayers. The Bible continues, the Lord answered Elijah's prayer. The child started breathing again and revived. Elijah took the boy back downstairs to his mother and said to her, "Look, your son's alive." She answered, "Now I know that you're a man of God and that the Lord really speaks through you." I want to give you five practical ideas about what we just read, okay? Remember, it's just a study about the character of Elijah, all right? So number one, we're talking about God's end days prophets, God's great plans for end days prophets lay beyond our safe zones, okay? God's great plans for end days prophets lie beyond our safe zones. Our safe zones are cool. When the wind is blowing our back and everything is looking good and man, you know, prayers are being answered and all is well. Hey, listen, enjoy those safe zones, but maybe those are times for you to get deeper with God. You know, as a pastor of 40 years, I've come to learn that a lot of people will get on their knees when their world collapses. Why not get on your knees when the wind is blowing at your back? When you're in your safe zone, dig deeper. Get closer to God. Get closer to Jesus. Get to learn more about the Lord when you're in your safe zone. Because good things are happening, right? Get grounded. Because one day the brook is going to dry up. Just like it happened to Elijah. The brook dried up. And he had to leave. But when he got to Zarephath, guess what happened? He saw the biggest miracle he ever seen. The jar of oil never ran out and the flour never ran out. And then he saw God miraculously revive a boy. That would have never happened in the safe zone. You with me? He had to get out of the safe zone. So he had this encounter with a conflict. But then God had already told him, if I can send birds your way, I can tell you, I'll take care of whatever you need. So God has great plans, but oftentimes they're beyond our safe zone. Life's not perfect, you know that. And there are problems that are going to continue. But God is able. Number two, God's end days prophets stay persistent in their prayer life. Stay persistent in their prayer life. I got this from the fact that the Bible says that Elijah laid himself on the dead boy. God, will you bring this boy back to life? I'm going to lay on him right now, okay? So he lays straight on him. Boom. He gets up. boy still cold. And then he, Lord, I know you can do this. He lays himself fully on the boy. He gets up. He's not breathing. It'd be really easy for him to say, okay, what am I doing here? This kid's not coming back to life. You ever felt that way? Don't answer me. But you ever felt that way? Like you're praying and nothing's happening. You're like, okay, why am I doing this? And then the third time, God, I know you can do this. You've shown me how much you can do. And he laid, and then he got up, and the boy's eyes opened. Boom! Miracle happened. You and I, as God's end days prophets, we need to believe enough to not give up praying. Keep praying. Third, we talk about the practical things from this chapter 17. There's more, but you know, that's where we at. Write this down on your notes. God uses end days prophets no matter who they are, what they've done. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, God still uses you. Remember, ravens were dirty birds. God used them anyway. And you know what the Bible says? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You and I have been dirty with sin. God can still use you, still use me. I had a guy come try to fix my battery at home this last week. And a young man. So, real cool. He wasn't a kid. I'm old, so I'm calling him a kid. So I started talking to him about the Lord, right? As he's looking at my battery, and I'm encouraging him to, you know, look for God, and he's telling me about his family, and I even gave him a little Jesus, okay? He lives out of town, and I said to him, hey, listen, man, why don't you take your wife this Sunday and look for a church over there where you live? He said, she feels, oh, he's like, nah, not my wife. She says she feels it's too late for her and God. That's what she said. Let me just remind you something. It's never too late for you and God. Never too late. It don't matter what's going on. It don't matter what happened in the past. It's never too late. You may be watching me on Facebook, and you're like, ah, it's too late for me. No, it isn't. Because God sent his son into the world to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life and died a death for us so that he shed his blood and he came back to life after the third day after being buried to give us life and hope and a future. Whoever you are, God loves you. God wants you to have the best life possible. If you've never given your heart to Christ, you want to do that today. Whoever you are, right? Number four, about what we read in 17 of 1 Kings. God's end days prophets are kind. We're kind. I've met way too many, y'all listen, I've met way too many Christians who are not kind. I've met way too many Christians who are all about negative and all about criticizing and all about difficulties. And hey, this lady blamed Elijah for her son's death. But he knew God was in charge. And I think believers need to be, as representatives of God, we need to be real good, nice people to this generation and to the lost people in this world, because they don't know what in the world they're doing. They don't know they're going to die and split hell wide open. We need to love people, y'all. We need to love people because we represent him and he loves them. I understand there's some people you can't stand. Sure, I do too. There's some people I can't stand. But I love them anyway because God loves them. I just don't want to hang around with them. I'm like, yeah, do your thing, man. Number five. God provides for his end days prophets. Amen? God provides for his end days prophets. He'll take care of your needs. Whatever they are. Close with this. A couple of weeks ago, I decided to go by the river. That's just where I enjoy being alone with God. I went by the river. I was in my car because it was one of those days, you remember a couple of weeks ago, where it was really windy and it was raining and it would stop raining. And it was raining and it would stop raining. And I sat there looking at the water in St. John River, and it was choppy, it was rough. And I could see the line of showers coming, and then it would pass me, and then, you know, I opened the windows again because it was nice and cool. And I opened my Bible because I remember one thing Billy Graham said that I share with you, the great evangelist. He said, every day I read 5 Psalms and 1 proverb. 5 Psalms to get to know God better, 1 proverb so I can get to know myself better. So I was reading Proverbs, and I just ended up in like Psalm 104. And I started reading Psalm 104. And what jumped out of the page to me, by the way, Psalm 104 is like the author is describing the 6 days of creation, but he in his own ways, okay? And there comes a point when he says that young lions, they go hunting at night looking for the food that God provides for them. I just never thought about that before. Oh, God's providing them the food they're going to eat. So it just stuck to me. And as I'm watching the wind and the way and the sea, the river being all messed up, I noticed that there was no birds, no pelicans. And I was like, no wonder they can't find fish. And so I saw some pelicans flying around in the distance. And you know, in my own way, I'm like, you're not going to be eating today, fellas. Ain't no way there's some fish out there. And then they started diving for fish. And then I thought, so God provides for lions at night, and God provides for birds in bad weather when the water's really rough. And then God spoke to my heart as only he can. And he said, Jorge, I will provide for you even when the waters in your life get rough. That's the kind of God we serve. Takes care of his end days prophets. He'll take care of you because he loves you. We just need to be the prophets God needs us to be. Amen? Okay, let's pray. God, these are great people. Only you know where they've been, where they are right now, and where they're heading. Thank you that your promises stand true forever. There might be somebody watching me right now on Facebook or somebody sitting here who says, you know what? I've never given my heart to Jesus Christ. I've never asked Jesus to save my soul, but I feel like I need to do that right now. If that's you, this is what I want you to pray right now. Right now. If that's you right now, I want you to pray this prayer. God, I've sinned. I'm sorry. I've done wrong. Please forgive me. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. He was buried. And he rose again. I believe he is Lord. And right now, I give my heart to him. I commit my life to you. Help me live for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody looking around, listen, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, will you raise your hand? You're here. You're sitting here. Maybe you just prayed that prayer first time. You said, I just gave my heart to Jesus just now. Okay. Maybe you did that. You're watching me on your computer. Send me a little note so the church can send you a Bible, okay? Maybe you're a believer, right? We're all praying. Listen, you're a child of God. You're an end-day prophet. But man, the brook's dried up and you don't know what in the world's going on. I want to pray for you. Anybody here? You just raise your hand. You say, man, will you pray for me right now, bro? I just need some prayer right now. Anybody here? You say, just raise your hand. Hey, I see you. Put your hand down. I see you back there. Put your hand down. I see you in the front. God bless you. I see you. God bless you. Anyone else? You say, will you pray for me right now, my man? I just feel like I'm in a dry brook right now. Anybody else? Hey, I see you. God bless you. Anyone else? We just pray. Hey, back there. Yeah, God bless you. Anyone else? You feel like I'm dried up, man. Father, I pray to you in the name of Jesus, a name that is above every name, a name that the Bible says every knee will bow one day and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know people's hearts. You know everyone that raised their hands and even those who didn't raise their hands, but they're going through struggle. Father, will you right now encourage them through the power of your Spirit? And will you meet their needs, whatever those are? God, show yourself to them, the powerful God that you are. Father, we believe. Help us believe, even when we doubt, help our own belief, God. And thank you for taking care of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. We're going to receive.